favorite verse in the Bible says Paul was long preaching. Amen.
Amen.
Eutychus fell out of the window when Paul, you know why he fell out, right? He was more out than he was in. Amen. That's why that's why he fell out. Good to be safe tonight. Good to be in God's house. All the things I know tonight, I'm glad I know I'm saved. Glad I know I'm in him tonight. 157 times in the Bible you find in Christ or Christ in you. Amen. Paul said in the book of Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. You know what that's got to do with? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's got to do with his first and his second advent. Christ in you is in salvation. Now, before you could be saved, Christ had to be born into this world. Amen. He was born in this world. We might be born into his, thank God. That's his first advent. And salvation, Christ in you. That's his first advent. And then the Bible says the hope of glory. Hope's not on this side of eternity, it's on the other. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Our hope's in him. Amen. Our hope's in Christ, our blessed hope's in his appearing. Christ in you, the hope of glory tonight. Amen. He is my hope tonight, thank God. He's the only hope for men tonight. Not only is he the hope of Israel, but he's the hope of all men. Thank God for the privilege to be here tonight with my boys, bring my son, my oldest and my youngest, and my son-in-law would have been with me. I've been able to come. This is the fourth meeting now that we've been able to attend here since we got invited to the first one. And it's been a blessing to me to come with my son-in-law's young preacher. And the first time I came with him, the Lord put in Brother Mark's heart to call on him, and he preached good, and I appreciate that. And my boys have got to hear some good preaching. We held the fellowship at my church, at Landmark Baptist Church, and Brother Tilly preached an outstanding message. Amen. And Brother Dye as well, two outstanding messages. The last meeting here, Brother Brown, thank God for you, preacher. I appreciate the word of God. Amen. What I heard here, what my young boys got to hear. Brother Allison preached here. I'm glad what he preached. Amen. Preacher started out tonight in 2 Peter chapter 1 there, talking about holy men, moved that they spake. Amen. I thank God for the men of God, but more importantly, I thank God for the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as the only begotten the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Enough grace to save the whole world, enough truth to prove the whole world guilty. Amen. Now, he is the Word of God tonight. Amen. We have the Word of God inspired tonight. Amen. He's the Word of God incarnate. Amen. He's that Word made flesh. Amen. Tabernacle among us. He says that a big deal. Oh, yeah. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:15-16, he said, from thy youth thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. He said, for all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Profitable for doctrine. Amen. Amen. Doctrine, teaching. Amen. Yeah. For reproof. Amen. You can teach somebody something. Amen. If they don't learn right, you got to reprove them. Amen. Amen. It's proper for doctrine, reproof. The Bible says correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Amen. It doesn't say thoroughly, T-H-O-R. It says thoroughly, T-H-R-O-U-G-H-L-Y. Thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Amen. That means up one side and down the other. We have all we need in the Word of God. Amen. That's exactly right tonight. Amen. I know that's right. Hebrews 4:12 said, the Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, is the discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. The high priest in the Old Testament, when he brought a sacrifice in there, he had to be skilled with that knife. Amen. That sharp knife. The knife and the sword's always one and the same. Typically in the Word of God, it is the Word of God. Amen. That high priest, he had to be able to separate the fat and the caul and the hind, all these different parts and sections. So, because part of it was the Levitical priest, Brother Tilly. A lot of the rest of it had to be burned on the brazen altar. Amen. And it was God. Amen. And listen, the Bible says that we have a great high priest who's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, who in all points was tempted as we, yet without sin tonight. Amen. What, Brother Mike, a great high priest. The Greek word for great means an enormity. Amen. Means an entirety. There's nothing like him tonight. Amen. We have a great high priest tonight. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So God, the Son, is our great high priest tonight, who's entered in once and all to the holiest of holies. Amen. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore God is able to save him to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. We have a great high priest tonight that ever liveth to make intercession. Our great high priest takes the word of God, which is inspired, amen, and Jesus Christ, the word of God incarnate, and our great high priest takes that word. Hebrews 4:12, again, listen, the word of God is quick. That means life-giving. The word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. Amen. You know what the word of God does to the sinner? Pierces him through.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, thank God. Kills you off. Amen. To sin and to self and to Satan. Amen. God pierces. Amen. And man's triune. He's body, soul, and spirit. Amen. Body's conscious of what's around it. Five in the Bible is the number of grace. God give us five senses. Amen. Sense of touch, sense of smell, sense of taste, sense of hearing. Amen. The body is conscious of what's around it. Amen. The soul is conscious of one thing. Me, 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 and I. Amen. That's what the soul's conscious of. And the spirit, little s, is conscious of one thing, and that's God. Amen. And so man's triune, he's body, soul, and spirit. Amen. His body's very much alive to what's around him. His soul's alive to sin and self and to Satan. I, and me, me, me. But his spirit's dead towards God. Amen. And that's why he must be born again. Paul said in Ephesians 2:1, you hath he quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses and sin. Not dead like a piece of wood like a Calvinist teaches, amen, but dead in spirit, amen. Yeah, amen, that's right. Now listen, let's get this straight. You can't be a Calvinist and a Christian, amen. You know, amen, this don't work. Calvin was a man, amen. You know what salvation is? It's not A, B, C, repeat after me. Jesus said, I'm Alpha and Omega, amen. He's the beginning and the end. If all you got's the A, B, C's, you're 23 letters short, amen. Thank God. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, amen. He's the only Savior of men. He's the only hope, amen, for this world, amen. He's the only hope for the United States of America. He's the only hope, amen, for Mission Hill Baptist Church. He's the only hope tonight for Landmark Baptist Church, amen. Amen. He's the only hope tonight for my boys and your wife, your children, amen, and my children tonight, amen. It's through him tonight, thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Man's body, soul, and spirit. His body's conscious of what's around him. His soul's conscious of self. Spirit's conscious of God. Amen. But listen, until we're born again, that's what God does in a way of salvation. Amen. He quickens that which was dead in trespasses and sin. Amen. He quickens our spirit, makes us alive towards God. Amen. And in salvation, God quickens our spirit. He saves our soul. Amen. You see, how does he do that? By the word of God. Amen. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Thank God for the King James Bible. It doesn't say for the word of God that lives. Amen. It says TH liveth and abideth forever. Amen. Now, on and on and on and on. Thank God the word of God's eternal. Amen. Amen. Thank God the word of God's infallible. Amen. The word of God's inerrant tonight. Thank God. It is that seed tonight whereby we, the man, woman, or boy, or girl, is saved by grace through faith. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. The only kind of faith God accepts is the kind he produces. Amen. Amen. He produces that, Brother Brown, through the preached word of God, through the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Two things required in salvation, and God, provided them both, repentance and faith. Amen. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, thank God. Amen. And listen, it's a positive and a negative. Amen. The repentance is towards God because it's his law that we've transgressed. Amen. Amen. Listen, God drew a line in the sand. Amen. And man stepped across it in the person of Adam, thank God. And he plunged mankind headlong into depravity. Amen. Yeah. I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe the Bible. Romans 5:12, wherefore by one man sin entered in the world, death by sin. Therefore death hath passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Amen. What he said, Romans 2:10, none are righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, amen, we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. It thrilled my heart to hear the preacher get over in 2 Peter and start out there. Amen. Yeah, thank God for the word of God tonight. Amen. It excites me, Brother Mike. Amen. Amen. It still does the same thing it done to me 20-something years ago, Brother Mark, when God saved me by His grace. Amen. I heard the Word of God preached in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, listen. Awaken my conscience to sin. Amen. Conscience won't save you, but if it ever dies, you can't be saved. Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen. And it takes a preaching of the Word of God to, awaken a man's conscience to his need. A lot of men know they're sinners, but they don't know they're hell-deserving sinners. Amen. You say, what does that take? It takes to preach the Word of God. Amen. The Bible said God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. Amen. Not foolish preaching. There's enough of that. Amen. Amen. He said the foolishness of preaching. Amen. Yeah, the Bible says that the preaching of the cross is a foolishness to them which perish. Amen. But to us which are saved, it's the power of God. Amen. Yeah, amen. That book's powerful tonight. Amen. That's the most powerful thing in the world is the Word of God. Amen. In the beginning, Genesis 1, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was out form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved across the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Amen. Amen. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit brooded. Amen. Thank God. And God the Father spoke. Thank God. God the Son, God the Word. That's why Genesis 1 and John 1 are the same. In the beginning was the Word. Amen. And the Word was with God. Amen. Amen. Thank God. And the Word was God. Amen. Thank God. The same was in the beginning with God. Again, all things were made by Him. Amen. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Amen. People want to preach the love of God to sinners. Amen. I'll tell you something. Amen. We don't preach the love of God to sinners. Amen. We preach the light of the glorious gospel, the grace of God. Amen. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 69, he said, at the entrance of thy word is light. Amen. Yeah, thank God. Amen. Light shines in the darkness. Amen. Thank God. And darkness comprehends it not. It can't put it out. Amen. Through the light of the glorious gospel, the grace of God, God turns the spotlight of heaven on a man's soul through the preaching of the Word of God and convicts his conscience of sin. Amen. Thank God. And he's illuminated. Thank God. Amen. Calvinists preach that you're regenerated first. I want to tell you something. The first work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of an unbeliever is illumination. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Amen. God turns the light on. Amen. If He don't, you'll be in darkness. Amen. And just surely as God turns the light on, He can turn her off. Amen. You don't believe that? Read Romans chapter number 1. Amen. Oh, I hear people say, as long as you got breath in your body, you can be saved and all these things. Sounds good, just ain't so. Amen. Bible says in Romans chapter number 1, when they knew God, they retained Him not in their knowledge. Amen. And the Bible says they became vain in their imagination and their foolish hearts were darkened. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. And listen, not only did they knew God, they retained not in their knowledge. Amen. Oh, listen, but the Bible says that they became vain. Amen. Vain. Oh, listen, the Greek word for vain means empty. Amen. Anybody thinks when you read the commandments, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. Amen. And it's cursing. A lot of people got Christ in their mouth, but don't have Him in their heart. Amen. Amen. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. You can't find nobody lost today. Everybody's saved. Everybody's okay, preacher. Everybody's all right tonight. Amen. Oh, we're not. Amen. Oh, my. The psalmist said in Psalms 51 and 5, behold, I was shaken in iniquity and sin when my mother conceived me. Psalms chapter number 50 says this, we come forth from our mother's womb speaking lies. Amen. Oh, listen, we're not sinners because we sin tonight. Amen. Amen. We sin because we're sinners. Amen. We're poor with our backs toward God. Amen. With Adam in the garden, they even walked out on God. Amen. The first man turned his back on God. Romans 5:12. Wherefore by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. Therefore death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Amen. You say, why do men die? Sin. Amen. Sin has a built-in judgment. Amen. For the wages of sin is death. Amen. Sin will take your father and you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you way more than you want to pay. Amen. Amen. Thank God. And because we're sinners by birth and by practice, amen, by proxy, by pleasure, however you want to say it today, by practice, amen. Amen. That's what we are. We're sinners. That makes folks mad. Amen. Amen. That's right. You know why folks won't be saved? Because they won't be sinners. Amen. If we'll be what God says we are, amen. Amen. Jesus said in Luke 19 and 10, He said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. He said, the whole hath not need of a physician. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen tonight. Amen. been none righteous, no, not one. Amen. People said, oh, that's New Testament. Old Testament, Isaiah 53. All we like a sheep have gone astray. Every man according to his own way. Amen. I'm no English scholar. But there's a big conjunction in there. I said, but. Amen. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every man according to his own way. But God hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Thank God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. But God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Salvation's in him. Amen. And if you're saved, not only is salvation in him, amen, you're in him and he's in you, thank God. Amen. Somehow tonight, Brother Brown, Christ is in heaven bodily, but he's present here tonight in the saved by grace through faith through the person of the Holy Spirit tonight. We're here bodily tonight, but somehow through supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, we're in him tonight in heaven, thank God. The Bible says, Paul, we've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, thank God. Amen. Yeah, and so somehow tonight, while the body's down here, the head's up there. Amen. When I was a boy, amen, my daddy used to teach me to fight. He said, if you get a headlock, son, he said, wherever the head goes, the body will follow. Woo, I like that. Amen. Wherever the head goes, the body will follow. Amen. Thank God the head headed back, amen, some 2,000 years ago. Amen. Not after he resurrected from 3 days and three nights into the bowels of the earth, but 40 days later, amen. Thank God he ascended into heaven on the Mount of Olives, amen. Acts 1 and 8, the Bible says they appeared two men in white apparel. And they said, ye men of Galilee, that's what you said on his preaching out of Acts 1 the other day. Amen. He said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? Amen. He said, this same Jesus which is taken away from you shall come again in like manner as you see him go, amen. Everybody's looking for him in the clouds, amen. It's not in those clouds up there, the stratosphere, amen. It's in that Shekinah glory, thank God, amen. It's that cloud, amen, that Adam and Eve were clothed in the garden, amen. Till that faithless day when they sinned in the garden, amen. And God, listen, pulled back the Shekinah glory, the cloud that clothed them, amen. Thank God, amen. And they looked upon themselves and their conscience was awakened, amen. And they knew they had sinned and they fled from the presence of God, amen. And they made for themselves a covering of figs, a type of self-righteousness. And religion, man, still trying to dress up and pamper up and press up the flesh, amen. Oh, you remember when Nicodemus came in the night? What the Lord said to him, he said, flesh and the blood cannot inherit eternal life. He said, except you're born of the Spirit and of the water tonight, amen. I've heard preachers try to get up and preach that water as a water birth, and they miss the mark tonight, amen. Water in this Bible tonight is the Word of God, amen. It is the living Word of God tonight. Amen. Yeah, thank God. Can I tell you something tonight? You can go 40 days and 40 nights according to what preacher preached last time out of Luke's Gospel chapter number 4. Amen. Same gospel in Matthew 4 and 4. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. Yeah, the Bible says over there, preacher, you read it. Out of Luke's gospel, but again in Matthew's gospel, it says Jesus, was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And there he fasted 40 days and 40 nights and was unhungered. Amen. And the tempter came. That's what he preached on. Good preaching. Amen. And listen, I'll tell you something tonight. You can go 40 days without bread, but you can't go but about 3 without water. Amen. That's right. You'll die. Amen. I want to tell you something, not the same way with the water of life. Amen. Person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to say something. Ain't no second gift and no second feeling tonight. Amen. There's just salvation by grace through faith. Amen. Yeah. And that's the receiving of Christ. Amen. You say, how do you do that being born again? Amen. Amen. Listen, Nicodemus wanted to know what he must do to be born again. He said he didn't understand. He said, what can I enter again the second time my mother's womb? Jesus said, except you be born of the Spirit and of the water. First thing he said, you can't even see the amen. Some people say, oh, I see you. Amen. You ask me how something works, and I explain to you, and you say, oh, I see. Amen. Amen. That's what he's talking about. He said, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Amen. He can't even understand it. Paul said later on, Brother Jeff, in chapter in Romans, he said this. He said, listen, the kingdom of God is neither meat nor drink. Amen. But power and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank God. That's right. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Amen. It's made up of spiritual people. Amen. Yeah. We got one race on this side of eternity. It's the Adamic race. Amen. That's as far as the natural birth, amen, being born the first time, amen. Yeah, but listen, there's another race, thank God, that's going to inherit a new heaven and a new earth, thank God, because it's a new people, thank God, amen. Oh, in the beginning, God created. The Hebrew word is ra'uk, amen. God created. It means a creation. It means God stepped out on nothing and spoke everything into existence through the power of his word, thank God, amen. The same words used in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, amen, or a new creation. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things become new, amen. So in Christ Jesus, the man that's body, soul, and spirit, alive to sin and self and Satan. The soul's alive to self, amen. The spirit's dead, but through the quickening power of the Holy Spirit, amen, salvation by grace through faith, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I listen, Brother Mike, thank God, we're a new creation, amen. We're a new race of people, amen. That's why John said in Revelation 21, I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down out of heaven from God. Bride adorned for the throne, thank God. There's got to be a new heaven, a new earth for a new people, thank God. Amen. There are spiritual people. Amen. Yeah, we're spiritual people. We may not look like much on the outside. Amen. We're something on the inside. But amen, preacher. It is Christ in you. It is Christ in me tonight. The hope of glory, thank God. Amen. Hey, we've been left behind with this old Adamic body, this old Adamic nature, but while we're here on this side of eternity, God said this through the Apostle Paul in Romans 12 and 1. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Amen. That means I urge or encourage you. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Amen. Listen, you know what justice is? It's what we deserve. If we got what we deserve tonight, we'd be in hell with a backbone. Mercy is God withholding from us what we do deserve. And God's grace is imparting to us what we never deserve. Yeah. Paul said, I am that I am by the grace of God. A lot of people see me, amen, Jeff, and they know what I was before I got saved, amen. Listen, can't nobody in here remind me no better, amen, than the old man, than the old tempter, and Satan, and self, and doubt. You know what doubt does? It looks inward and downward, and it produces fear. But faith looks outward and upward, and it produces power, thank God, amen. And it's the power of the Holy Ghost, thank God, that lets us know that we're born again, born from above, amen, thank God. Even though we're left behind in this old Adamic body, thank God, there's a new man in us, thank God, which is Christ Jesus the Lord, thank God. And listen, we are a new creature, amen, thank God. And we are spiritual people tonight, not because we swing from the chandeliers or jump the pews tonight, but because, preacher, we're born again, amen. Amen. Brother Mark from Robinsville, amen, when you go over there and you go up on Yellow Creek, you show up from Peachtree, they say, he ain't from around here. He's from out of here. Is that what they say? He's from out of here. Amen. That's right. Amen. John, in John's Gospel chapter 3, Nicodemus said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He thought because he's a Jew, he had an inheritance. Amen. Yeah, he didn't have an inheritance because of his father's name or because he was a Jew. Amen. He did have an inheritance. He didn't quite know about it yet. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank God. But Jesus said, you must be born again. Amen. He said, you must be born from out of here. Amen. Yeah. Born again. Born from above. Amen. That's what he's saying there to us. Amen. That's the greatest need in this world tonight. Amen. We don't need a new president or a new governor. Amen. They're corrupt from the White House to the outhouse. Amen. You can take them, put them in a sack, and shake them up. It don't matter whether it's six, one, half a dozen, or six of them. Amen. They're reprobate. You live in a world today, amen, where you can take any body of people and they can say that man can marry a man, that it's Adam and Steve and not Adam and Eve. They say you can kill babies and murder them and abort them, amen. I want to tell you something, they're reprobate, amen. Oh, the Bible says, therefore, when they retain God not in their knowledge, therefore God turned them over to a reprobate mind. Commit those things which are unseemly, man with man and woman with woman. Amen. The Bible says this is a characteristic of them. Amen. He said this, listen, that they'll be without natural affection. Amen. A lot of people think that man loving a man and woman loving a woman, that's not what he's talking about. It's not natural for a mama want to kill a baby. Amen. It's not natural for a daddy want to kill a baby. It's not natural for a daddy want to kill a mama or a mama to kill a daddy or a child to kill a mama or a daddy. Our kids are killing our parents, amen. Women are killing their babies, and daddies are killing them. They're without natural affection, amen. You say, why? God's turned them over to a reprobate mind to commit those things which are unseemly, amen. I want to tell you something today. God's turned the light off on some individuals in this world, thank God. They've turned their back on God. They've called truth of lie. They've turned the truth of God, the Bible said, into unrighteousness. When they say that we're a bunch of hate mongers, right-wing, wild-eyed fanatics, amen, and they reject the word of God, amen. Oh, listen, God turns them over to a reprobate mind, amen. That ain't proper preaching, Brother Mark, amen. But it's right tonight, amen. I tell you that, it's right tonight. I don't want to take up no more time. I wanted to preach tonight out of another, but the Lord didn't give me no liberty to preach what I put in my Bible. So I'm just saying what he told me to say tonight. I got about 7 minutes, amen. Amen. It's all right tonight. I'm satisfied tonight that the one thing missing, and hey, Paul said this when he went to Rome. Paul been in prison, and listen, he's headed back to Rome, have his head chopped off. Amen. Amen. On his way back, he had him stop at the coast of Ephesus, and he walked 50 miles in, and he called for the elders of the church. They come out in Acts chapter 20, and he said this. He said to them preachers there, he said, take heed ye therefore to feed the flock of God, whom he hath made you overseers. And then he said, whom he hath purchased with his own blood. Amen. Yeah, this thing called the church tonight is not a social group or a social club. It's not your church or my church. Amen. It's the church of God tonight. Amen. It's a purchased church tonight. Amen. It's a prized church tonight. It's a possessed church tonight. Amen. Oh, Paul said, no, you're not, that you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Amen. Thank God. Great price was paid. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter number 1, he said this, brother. He said, being born again, for as much as you know, you're not redeemed by corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation as received by tradition of your fathers. He said, but by the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish or without spot, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest unto you in these last days that believe that God hath raised him from the dead and given him glory. That your faith and hope might be in God tonight. Amen. Yeah, everybody, we're singing about the blood tonight. Thank God for the blood. Hebrews 9 and 22, almost all things by the law are purged by blood, but without the shedding of blood, there's no remission tonight. Amen. Yeah, but it's not just shed blood. It's applied blood tonight. Amen. Over in the book of Exodus chapter number 12, he told that father, he told Moses to tell him, he said, hey, the death angel's coming through tonight. He said, you take a lamb without a blemish or without spot, a male the first year, you slay him, amen, and slay him in the basin of the door, amen. And he said, then you get some hyssop, amen. Hyssop's a white, porous flower that grows in the Middle East, amen. It's a picture and a type of faith, amen. Yeah, the father who was a picture and a type of the high priesthood of his family and the priesthood of Christ, amen, he'd slay that lamb, thank God, and that blood would pour in that basin. Take that hyssop, amen. Dip it in that blood, amen. It ain't just blood shed, it's blood applied, thank God, amen. It applied on the lintels of the door. It come in underneath the lintels, thank God, amen. And listen, the blood wasn't on the inside. It was on the outside, amen. The blood wasn't manward, it was Godward, amen. I can't see what's going on the inside tonight. All I can see what's going on the outside, amen. But God, Jeremiah said, doesn't look on the outward parts, but on the inward, thank God. And listen, you know what the Lord said? He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen. Yeah, Paul said in Corinthians that he is our Passover. Amen. Ephesians 2 and 14 says, For he is our peace, who have made us both one, and broken down that middle wall of partition. Amen. The Greek word's Arene peace. It means to bring back on a friendly ground, thank God. Amen. There's enmity between God and man. And the enmity is not with God, it's with man. Amen. We turned our backs on God in the garden with Adam, shook our fists in his face, and walked out on God. The enmity is with man, not with God. Amen. But God in grace sought Adam out in the garden, thank God. Amen. He said, Adam, where art thou? Amen. If God's omniscient, he is all knowing. He knew where Adam was. He just wanted Adam to know where he was. Amen. And God in grace, amen, sought him out. He sought me, Brother Mike. He bought me. Amen. With his redeeming blood, he found Adam over there hid. Amen. Because he was naked. And he had on his rags of religion and self-righteousness. Amen. Yeah, and them fig leaves, amen. And God called him out, amen.
and he made for him a covering. The first inference of the shedding of blood in the scriptures, amen, is when God sought Adam out and he made him a covering, thank God, amen. He covered him, I believe, with lambskin and blood, thank God, amen. Yeah, I believe that's right, amen. Amen, that's right. Well, you know, when Cain and Abel, I came, amen, to an appointed place at an appointed time, amen, the Bible says that Cain brought the fruit of the ground. Chapter before, God cursed that. That's what happens when man tries to bring works of self-righteousness or anything he does. He brings what God's already cursed and he won't accept it. Amen. The Bible says that, Abel brought the firstlings, not a firstling. He didn't bring just one. He brought one for his brother. Amen. That's right. Cain could have took them fruits of the ground. He could have got from, Abel what he needed. Amen. But he was no different than Esau. He despised his birthright. Primogenitor, the firstborn, he didn't want nothing to do with that. Amen? Yeah, that's exactly right. Amen? The Bible says he was wroth when God confronted him. Hey, listen, jealousy rose. Murder wasn't in the ghetto. Murder wasn't in a city. It wasn't in a Glock 9mm or a Uzi or an AK-47. Murder was in the heart of the first killer, amen, and it was in a family, and it was brother against brother. You say, how bad is sin? Right there tells you how bad sin is. Amen. Say, preacher, how do you know that? I got a Bible. Amen. And in particular, I got a King James Bible. Not a King James Version. It's not a version. It's just the King James Bible. Amen. It's the pure word of God tonight. Amen. Yeah. The Bible tells you who you are, what's wrong with it, and how to get it fixed. That's why people don't like it. Amen. But if God ever convicts you of your sin through the preached word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and bursts you into the family of God, the things you used to love, you'll hate. The things you used to hate, Steve, you'll love. Amen. Yeah, thank God, Brother Tilly. If you'd have knew me before I got saved, you wouldn't care much for me. Amen. Hey, you know how I met Brother Tilly? I'm done tonight. I was coming home from a revival meeting I'd been preaching. And I come rolling up at a roadblock. Amen. Had my family in there, and this little police comes over to me. Amen. I roll my window down. I had my 20 years before, I wouldn't have stopped. I'd have run right through there. Amen. Amen. He'd had to run me down. We'd have met in a whole different light. Amen. Amen. God saved me. Amen, new creature in Christ, a new creation. I look the same, amen, but I don't talk the same, I walk the same, I think the same tonight. But you know that's right, brother. Jeff knows me alone. He's my friend. He loved me when I was lost. He's loved me since I've been saved, amen. I appreciate it. That's a real testimony tonight, amen. You don't forget stuff like that, amen. Brother Tilly walked up the door. I handed him my license. He looked at him. He said, in his voice, he said, are you the Scott Cole that preaches on the radio? I said, I am. He said, I listen to you. Amen. Really, it's humbling to me when people tell me that. I know what I am by birth, but I know tonight what I am by the grace of God. Amen. And I never knew I'd be in meetings with him later. I didn't know he was a preacher. I didn't know none of that stuff. I remember when I met Brother Mark Stewart. First time I heard him preach was at a camp meeting. He was preaching on homosexuals. He said, you know why they all walk the same? That's what he was doing coming across the stage, Brother Mark was. Amen. And the next thing he said, because they got the same spirit in them. Amen. The same demon. Preached for me at churches I've pastored, and we supported him losing the mission. Listen tonight, we're not against each other tonight. Amen. We're on the winning side. Paul said in Romans 8:37, nay, and all these things were more than conquerors through him which loved us. Then he said, for I'm persuaded 10 things that neither death nor life nor angels nor powers nor principalities nor things present nor things to come, neither height nor depth nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:1, wherefore by faith, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:5, but listen, God commended his love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Amen. Romans 5:8, amen, but when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, thank God, amen. Oh, ever I knew him tonight, thank God. Oh, the Bible says in due time, the Greek word's epic, amen. It means an epic. There's different things in the Bible that mean time in the Greek, like keros means time, like you see on your watch, and my time's about up, amen. He said, but in due time, that's an epic period of time. You say, what time? Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them which were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, whereby with we cry, Abba, Father, tonight. Amen. Paul said it like this again in Romans 8:14. For For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Verse 15, for we've not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but rather the spirit of adoption, whereby with we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit self beareth witness again with our spirit that we are the children of God. And Adam, listen, Nicodemus thought he was an heir. But verse 16 says, if we're, children of God, then we're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. You know what an heir has to do to inherit? Nothing. Woo! We're heirs, preacher. Say, what'd you have to do? All I had to do is get saved. Amen. Say, how'd you get saved? I got born again. How'd you do that? By incorruptible, not corrupt. Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever tonight. Amen. Yeah, listen. Word of God will save you. It's the word of God that will keep you tonight. Amen. It's the word of God that encourages me. Amen. Tonight, it's the word of God that keeps me. Amen. It inspires me, feeds me. Oh, my soul tonight. What's better than that? If you knew me before the Lord saved me, you would give me the time of day. You may not give me none anymore. I'll tell you this. Paul said in Romans 1:15, he said, for much as is in me is in me. He said, I'm now ready to preach. Listen, nothing I'd rather do is preach. And I'll preach at the drop of a hat, and if you ain't got a hat, I'll drop mine. Amen. And listen, you know what he preached? Amen. He said this in verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, for it, now the gospel, he said, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel, the good news, the word of God. It is the power of God. Brother Tilly, or Brother Mark, pull his pistol out and shoot it. That bullet that comes out of the casing, it's got power from black powder. Amen. If they launch a nuclear submarine, it's got power, amen, from a nuclear warhead. Amen. He said, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. You say, what kind of Bible do you preach? The one that's empowered by God. Amen. Oh, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Amen. It's God that worketh repentance and faith in the heart of the unbeliever. Thank God. And God does everything necessary in salvation. Amen. And we're just the heirs. Amen. And the listeners, oh, tonight, the receivers of the grace of God. Amen. Amen. It's all Him tonight. Amen. Glad I'm in, preacher. Amen. I'm glad I'm in the church. I'm glad in this fellowship. I'm glad I'm in fellowship with preacher tonight. But more importantly, I'm glad I'm in Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God's blessings upon the preaching this evening.
Bless Brother Jason, if you would. Ask God's blessings upon the preaching.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you. Maybe seated. Revelation chapter number 7 this evening. Revelation chapter 7. Thank you. I can't preach as fast as Brother Cole. I can't talk as fast as Brother Cole. I talk slow, but my mind's going 1,000 miles.
I believe this goes right along with his message. A lot of what the Lord gave Brother Cole there. It's been on my mind all day today. I'm sorry, Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. And we sang about it at the beginning, and we heard it spoken a little bit there, Brother Cole. But Revelation chapter number 9, beginning in verse number 20, the Bible said, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone, and of wood which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And I'd like to speak tonight, Lord willing, for just a few minutes on this subject. They repented not. They repented not. We sang the song a while ago, Victory in Jesus. And I heard an old, old story of how a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Listen, get to the end of that, and it says, then I repented of my sin and won the victory. And until we repent of our sin, we'll never win the victory. Repentance and remission of sin is to be preached under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said that after he had risen from the dead in Luke chapter number 24. Matter of fact, the very reason that Jesus died and rose again, was buried and rose again, was so that repentance and remission of sin would be preached, amen, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. So where does it say that? Hold your place right here and turn back with me to Luke chapter number 24. Luke chapter 24, and listen to what the Lord said right before he ascended back to heaven. The Bible said, Luke chapter number 24, verse 46, well, verse 45. The brother was talking about turning the lights on and how the Holy Ghost illuminates and turns the lights on. Listen to what happened here with the disciples. The Bible said in verse number 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins, that's forgiveness of sins, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Now listen. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I don't want to get into the pulpit, praise God, without the Holy Ghost being with me. Amen. Moses told the Lord, he said, Lord, if you're not going to go with us, I don't want to go. Amen. And when the Lord called me to preach, he said, go, and praise God, I'll go with you. He called us to preach, so we'd go. But if we'll go, he'll go with us. Amen. And listen, it pleased God, as the brother said, by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But what are we preaching? Are we preaching repentance and remission of sins? I'll tell you how vital it is that we don't leave repentance out of the equation. Because Jesus said, just a few chapters back from this, in chapter 13, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You say, now wait a minute. I thought you said that for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But thank God it's enough faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to repent of our sin. And there's so much out here, listen, that is being preached, and the brother's talking about a version of. I don't want a version of the Bible. No more do I want a version of Christianity or a version of Jesus. I need Jesus. And Jesus said, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Now you look at every incident of a conversion in the New Testament when somebody, praise God, got saved. I'll tell you what you'll find. You'll find the act of the grace of God. And you'll see the faith of man reaching out to the grace of God. For it's by grace and through faith that we're saved. There was a woman one day, she'd been caught in the very act of adultery, and she was flung at the Savior's feet in John chapter 8. They said, the law says that this woman is to be stoned to death, but what do you say? And Jesus said, let him that's without sin cast the first stone. They all walked out, beginning at the eldest. And she was standing there alone with Jesus. He said, woman, where are those thine accusers? She said, I have none, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Listen, praise God, when Zacchaeus got saved, he came down out of the tree, and Jesus went to his house. And he was a crook. He's a little feller, but he was a little crook. And he was ripping people off. He was a tax collector, and he's taking more than he should. But when he got saved, he told our Lord, he said, Lord, I restore to him fourfold. If I've taken anything that I shouldn't have, I'm restoring it to him fourfold. I want to make it right. Yeah. Problem is, listen, I love you tonight. Thank God for old-time Holy Ghost-filled preachers that still preach for Jesus and still preach against sin. They still preach that it's a straight gate and a narrow way that leads to life eternal. And there's only a few that finds it. Listen, there's a false doctrine over here in Revelation. And Jesus talked about it in the first three chapters. And he was talking about the doctrine of the... And again, I hope I'm saying the word right. And I don't know that I've ever got it right. But the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which was a doctrine of licentiousness, which meant what? You got your fire insurance, come on back to the party. Yeah, you went on up to the altar, and listen, you made a profession, but then come on back out here and drink beer and live like hell and the devil. And that's going on in a lot of Baptist churches. Charlotte and I went to a Baptist church over in Buncombe County, and we sat down on Sunday morning. And I noticed every Sunday morning there was a man sitting over there beside me. We only went a few times. But there was a man sitting over there beside me, and every Sunday morning he was still drunk from the night before. He never came under conviction. And the preacher there wasn't using a King James Bible and everything, and we were looking for a church at the time. But now listen, I'm telling you, God the Holy Ghost, Jesus sent him, the Holy Ghost, to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Well, how does he do that? Through the preaching of the Word of God. And we're living in a time where, listen, we don't want to offend anybody. So we just won't really preach against sin. We don't really preach, you know. And people say, hey, man, you're condemning me. Well, no, we're already condemned. What we're trying to do is pull you out from under the condemnation. We can't condemn you worse than you already are. And except a man believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he's condemned already. John chapter 3. But here in Revelation chapter number 9, they're suffering under the heavy hand of the heavy wrath of Almighty God. Terrible things going to happen in the tribulation, and it could start today. The rapture of the church, and when the church is gone out of here, then shall that man of sin be revealed, the Antichrist. And people so underestimate the severity of the tribulation, but this Bible tells me, and Jesus said, listen, except those days be shortened, there'd be no flesh saved. But instead of calling on God during the tribulation time, they're going to be crying out for the rocks to fall on them. Not praying to the Creator, but praying to the creation to destroy them. Why? Because they refuse to repent. And you see it every day, all day. I mean, you see it on television. You see it out here in the world. You go up to somebody, you hand them a tract, you hand them a testament. Hey, friend, God loves you. Jesus died to save you. He wants to save everybody. He loves everybody. He loves everybody the same. He died to save the whole world. And you hold that testament out to them, and a lot of times they'll say, no, I'm good. No, thank you, I'm good. I know me well enough to know that I'm not good. There's none good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, why won't they repent? Even when they see that the very wrath of God is falling on. They had an earthquake here this week, a few days ago, over there, Iran and Syria. Those are predominantly Muslim countries. We're seeing earthquakes in diverse places right now, all over the place. Haiti, Syria, Iran. They said the death count right now, it's up to close to 20,000 people. This world is being conditioned for the tribulation. The church is being conditioned for the rapture. What we're trying to do is we're marching with the winners and calling to the sinners, Jesus is mine, Jesus is mine. Don't you want to be saved before time runs out? But yet they repented not. How can they not repent? I mean, listen, how would they not repent? And why? It begs the question, why would people not repent? You go back to Cain. Brother talked about it, and I preached about that just recently. Praise God. Cain had a rod of pride. He had the pooch mouth, and he had envy because his brother's sacrifice was accepted, and his was not. And God even told him, you need to get a handle on your anger. You need to get a handle on this thing, because if you don't, sin lieth at the door. He even warned him. And if Cain had repented, you know what he would have done? He would have went over to Abel and he'd said, brother, can I buy one of your sheep? I want to buy the best one you've got. I don't care what it costs. I want to buy one of your sheep because I want my sacrifice to be acceptable to the Lord. I don't want you to give it to me. I want to buy it from you, brother. And I'm sorry that I got the pooch mouth and the clabber jaw because yours got accepted and mine didn't. If he had repented and everything, listen, Cain wouldn't have killed his brother, but there was a rod of pride in that. Why did Sodom not repent? They had pride. Listen, turn with me, if you will, back to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. I just want you to look at something here tonight. You know how many survivors there were from Sodom and Gomorrah? There was three. There was Lot and his two daughters. His wife turned and looked back. She turned into a pillar of salt. But now listen, Ezekiel chapter 16. What was going on in Sodom? And why were there not even five righteous found? Why were there not even 10 righteous found in all of the cities of the plain? Here's the answer. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 48. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. What's the first one on the list? Pride, fullness of bread, an abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. You know what's going on in America? Pride, fullness of bread, an abundance of idleness. I mean, our government subsidizes laziness. We pay people to have babies. We pay people to come into the country and have babies. We pay people here in Clay County just to have babies. And the more money they get, the more babies they have. We pay able-bodied men that are able to work to sit around and do nothing. Because they get a lawyer and they go down here and draw a welfare check and they wonder why we're $33 trillion in the hole. I'm telling you, everything on this list that was going on in Sodom is going on in the United States of America. Listen. Listen. And our people aren't repenting either. They're not coming to repent. They're not coming to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather, listen, they make fun of Christianity. And they refuse to repent, just as Sodom did. They got pride. Their bellies are full. They mar up in a lazy boy recliner. They've got 200 channels on the TV. Why do I need to go down out of that church? What they got that I need? I got an air-conditioned car out here. Takes me where I want to go. I can go down to the beer store and get me a handful of lottery tickets and a sack of Marlboros and some Bud Light and fill up the side ditches with them on Tuskegee. Heard Lester Roloff preach a message one time when I was at work. He said, you know who the biggest litter bugs are in the world? Beer drinker. He said, these side ditches ain't full of Mountain Dew cans. That's the truth. Amen. I just had to pull off the road and think about that for just a second. But now listen, people don't repent. They didn't repent then. Why? Pride. Listen to what Proverbs said. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination unto the Lord. Though hand join in hand, they shall not go unpunished. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Our nation is so full of itself and a perpetual braggart. Look what all I've done. I, and me. And if you don't come over here and love me, I'll just send out an ugly tweet on you. I love myself. I'll just make me a little golden idol of myself. And you can just come over here and just take a picture of it. Pride. Paul put it this way. He said, in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, more than lovers of God. God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace unto the humble. Listen, he gets down to the end of this thing. And if you read what happens at the beginning of Revelation chapter 9, you would say that's almost a supernatural thing. Well, it is. It's supernatural because he's a supernatural God. But there's going to be things that are going to be released and unleashed on planet Earth during this tribulation passes all what science can come up with. And people are going to be dying by the bushelfuls. We had a missionary at our church Sunday morning, Brother David Hickson. And I appreciate Brother Mark putting him on to his missionary to Thailand. But he was talking about how that the greatest majority of people over there, 80% of them are Buddhist over there in Thailand. I heard a statistic here recently that 8 billion people now occupy planet Earth. Right before that, I heard that there's about 50,000 being born every day. There's about 50,000 going out every day to kind of keep the population steady. Isn't it something that out of those 8 billion people that are being born on planet Earth, half of them are boys and half of them are girls? That's pure God that works that out. And he meant for boys to be boys and girls to be girls. Amen. Jesus even said, have you not read that in the beginning he created them male and female? So I wonder why It begs the question tonight. I wonder why when we preach and people will resist that and refuse to repent and believe the gospel. You say, well, did Jesus really preach that much about repentance? I want you to look at one quick verse and then I'm going to hush. Look over here in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Verse 14. And listen to what our Lord said here. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, listen at this, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. How much should I believe? Believe enough to repent and believe the gospel. You leave that part out. The brother was talking about how people just want to hear and say, well, let's just preach on love and love and love and love and love and everything. Listen, if you preach, all you preach is love and you never preach repentance and the remission of sin, you've missed it. And I'm going to tell you something. This crowd that's in Revelation chapter 9 over here, you see the things that are still going on during that time. Listen to what's going on during that time. He said, the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands. Well, it's by grace that you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I heard a young man preaching over at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church one day at a funeral. And he said, I was at the visitation last night, and this man, I was trying to witness to a man down there at the funeral home, and he said, well, there's just so many doctrines out there. And he said, I told that man, I said, well, really, there's only two, aren't there? There's a doctrine of grace, and there's a doctrine of works. And, you know, Adam, he worked, I bet he spent a long time sewing an apron out of fig leaves. But what a flimsy attempt on man's part to listen to me tonight. I love you. I love you, so don't listen. What a flimsy attempt at making a token of his righteousness. Amen. To present to Almighty God. God told Abel, that's not going to work. God told Adam, that's not going to work. It took the blood. Nowadays, they want Bibles that don't have the word blood in it. If you leave out the blood, you might as well be preaching out of a Reader's Digest magazine. Romans chapter 5 said, being justified by faith. But then another verse later on says, being justified by his blood. I only have one plea. I plead the blood on this side of the river. If I wait to plead it on that side of the river, it's too late. You'll not stand. Listen, you'll not stand at the great white throne judgment. If you're even at the great white throne judgment, you got problems. That's reserved for the wicked dead. Yeah. The righteous people will not stand at the great white throne judgment. We'll be at the judgment seat of Christ, and our works will be judged, but our sins were judged at Calvary. And when we depart this life, if this heart quit beating, Jesus said, if a man liveth and believeth on me, he shall never die. My last breath here will be my first breath there, praise God. Yeah. But can I just tell you, that when they lay you under that little grassy mound out there, the only thing that's going to matter at that point is the grace of God. Because you're either going to fall into the arms of Jesus or you're going to fall headlong into hell. And except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. So what do we need to do, men? We need to be filled with the Spirit. And we need to be preaching under the anointing of the Holy Ghost repentance and the remission of sin. Now, whether a person repents or not, that's between them and the Lord. But I don't want their blood on my hand. And I don't want them saying, listen, Derek, you didn't warn them. You didn't warn them. I don't want the Lord saying that. Praise God, listen. They repented not. And people don't repent nowadays for the same reason. Israel had a stiff neck, and they were prideful. The whole book of Jeremiah, there was two problems, two overarching problems in the thing. One, they turned their back on God. Two, they started worshiping something else. America's the same way. Sunday morning, they turn their back on God. They go down here at the lake. They worship the creation more than the Creator. Come on. I don't know why I'm preaching this tonight. Somebody needs to hear it. I think it's me. But listen, praise God. We've got to repent. And that crowd that's going to stand there, and Jesus talked about them, the ones that's going to say, Lord, Lord, did I not do this in thy name? And Lord, Lord, did I not do that in thy name? And he says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. But if we'll repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Thank you tonight for your attention. I appreciate Brother Mark letting me speak. I praise God. Tonight, to be saved, to be born again, to know Jesus. I might get a lot of things on my mind, but I ain't worried about where I'm going to land at the end of this thing.